An old argument has been rebooted for a new political age. Jews are destroying the country. Anti-Semitism has found currency among supporters of Donald Trump and has led to an increasing number of online attacks against two groups, Jewish anti-Trump conservatives and Jewish journalists. WNYC's Matt Katz reports.
I arrive at nap time at Bethany Mandel's second floor apartment in central New Jersey. Evidence of her two children under three, toys, and more toys, is everywhere.
Are the kids sleeping?
Yes.
Awesome.
She's a full-time mom who works from home, and that's why her laptop, open, is on the couch. But that's not what I came to see.
Can I see the gun?
Sure, I have to go get it.
She retrieves a purple box from the bedroom and lays it between us.
It's a .22 revolver. It's not loaded, obviously.
Mandel, 30 years old, is a politically conservative writer and an Orthodox Jew who has written in prominent Jewish and conservative publications about her opposition to Trump. That's why she had to buy a gun. She has faced thousands of anti-Semitic messages online, mostly from self-identified white nationalists who are big Trump supporters. Messages like,
"Die, you deserve to be in an oven, the world would be better off without you." And like,
it's the pictures, though, the memes they send her, that she has to hide from her children.
They're Holocaust victims, and then they superimpose my face on one of the victims.
Mandel has blocked thousands of users on Twitter who have gone after her. Twitter has been criticized for doing little to rid its site of such hate. But ultimately, Mandel blames Trump.
He's playing to the absolute bottom rung of our society. It feels like this is Germany in the 30s. Like, we're watching the rise of someone really, really dangerous.
So a couple of months ago, she packed up the kids and went to the gun shop. Then she wrote a piece for the Jewish Forward. "My Trump tweets earned me so many anti-Semitic haters that I bought a gun." It went viral.
I've had dreams about people lurking in my apartment since then, and the only way I can sort of talk myself down from that crazy ledge at 2 in the morning is, like, I can see my gun from my bed and, like, come at me. Everybody knows I have a gun now, like, and I'm really not afraid to shoot it.
The anti-Semites' initial targets were conservative writers who opposed Trump, but they soon went after mainstream reporters who cover him. They created an image of the decapitated yarmulke-wearing head of a Jewish editor at the New York Times. After Jewish journalist Julia Yaffe wrote a profile of Trump's wife for GQ, she had to file a police report about phone and email threats. Trump was specifically asked about the attacks on Yaffe by CNN's Wolf Blitzer.
"What's your message to these people when something like that happens?"
"I haven't read the article, but I heard it was a very inaccurate article, and I heard it was a nasty article."
Trump said he had no message to his fans who send these tweets in his name. He has never specifically renounced them, and his spokeswoman declined to comment for the story. But it goes beyond just tweets. Anti-Semites created a program in Google's Chrome web browser to search for Jewish last names online. They then flagged Jewish journalists by putting their names in triple parentheses in order for fellow white nationalists to identify Jews. In response, Yair Rosenberg of the Jewish publication Tablet magazine put the parentheses around his own profile name.
"Right now, I don't think these people are much of a threat. That's why I mock them."
Rosenberg says these bigots are just anonymous internet-based trolls. But the Anti-Defamation League is concerned. Anti-Semitic incidents were up 3% nationally from 2014 to 2015, with a 50% increase in assaults. The group has set up a task force to specifically address concerns with Trump-backing neo-Nazis going after journalists. "For me, it took just a few days of reporting on Trump before I was called a kike. Then my name was posted inside triple parentheses. I wanted to know why."
"At the time, you know, when I did that, it was really nothing, you know, personal against you."
That's Tony, not his real name. He says he's 28, an Iraq war veteran, and a Trump supporter who flagged me on Twitter for being Jewish.
"I mean, it is your ethnicity. I don't understand why you would be upset, regardless of, you know, who it is saying it. It's, you know, it's a factual matter."
"Well, I think it comes to the fact that, you know, there's thousands of years of history in which Jews were minorities in whatever country they were in, similar to now, and then they were identified and scapegoated for whatever problems the country was having, and then totalitarian leaders took advantage of that scapegoating and used it as an excuse to exterminate or expel or murder the Jews within their populations.
I mean, looking at it logically, that's completely understandable.
But then he went on to say that white people are the ones who are scapegoated in modern America. A Twitter user who goes by a German pseudonym, Bluden Bloden, mocked a picture of my Jewish colleagues and I accepting a journalism award.
It's like four Jews and an Asian. It's just funny because you're four Jewish journalists. I could be wrong about one or two, but in New York, getting awards, being influential, you know, and it's just when we look around and we see what kind of influence do Jews have in academia, in the media, in Hollywood, in pornography, you know, all this different stuff. And we see it as subversive, as pernicious, as degenerate, as harmful, as corrosive.
There's a paradox here, because Jews are an integral part of Trump's operation. His national finance chairman and his top attorneys are Jewish. One of his closest advisors is Jared Kushner, his son-in-law and the Orthodox Jewish husband to his daughter Ivanka, who converted. When speaking to Jews, Trump often mentions his Jewish grandchildren. And Kushner helps Trump write speeches to Jewish audiences. But Trump, like in a speech to Jews at a Republican Jewish coalition event, is known to go off script.
Is there anybody that doesn't renegotiate deals in this room? This room negotiates perhaps more than any room I've ever spoken to.
Somehow Trump manages to stereotype Jews as cheap and get laughs. The kind of joke that usually only flies if it's a Jew saying it. Trump has drawn scrutiny for such insensitivity before. He retweets white supremacists, and he was slow to renounce an endorsement from former KKK leader David Duke. Yet many Jewish Republicans continue to back him. So I headed to Trump Tower to find out why. I took the elevator to the top floor to meet Jason Greenblatt, an Orthodox Jew, chief legal officer for the Trump Organization, and one of Trump's two advisors on Israel. Greenblatt says Trump respects him and supports Israel. He says Trump should not be blamed for anti-Semitic Twitter trolls whose presence is exaggerated by the media.
We don't even know how many there are, and I guess if somebody did a scientific study, I would suspect that there are plenty of Twitter trolls who support Hillary.
Greenblatt notes that Trump gave a statement to the New York Times after he came under scrutiny for the Duke endorsement. Trump had said that anti-Semitism has no place in society.
I recognize that some people think that he should do more. I don't think it's fair for me to constantly go to him and say, oh, this unknown Twitter troll said this. Can you make a statement?
Recently, Greenblatt decided to put the triple parentheses Jewish signifier around his own Twitter handle to show that he stands in solidarity with those targeted. For WNYC, I'm Matt Katz.